another friend or family member like the Lord. And thank God tonight we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I pray that we would always be aware of his presence in our life, that we would serve him the best of our ability. And I know we all fall short of that, but I believe we know our failings as he reveals them to us. And that's where we can work on those shortcomings and can work on those weaknesses in our lives that we can tomorrow do better than we did today. And that ought to be the desire of every Christian. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. The book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is really just what it says it is. It's Proverbs. It's giving you stories, giving you messages. And tonight we'll be reading Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 20. And we'll read down through verse number, we'll just read through the rest of the chapter, verse 27. Verse number 20 of Proverbs 4 reads, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, health to them to all flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right upon right, on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And so we find here that as the writer of Solomon gives to us, he deals with this subject of the heart. These are familiar words, and usually we stop reading there in verse number 23, where it says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The New Testament tells us that what's in a man's heart will proceed out of his mouth. And so the portion of Scripture, even though we are familiar with it, sometimes doesn't have a full impact upon us unless we take just a few moments and look at it a little bit closer. For the most part, when the Bible talks about the heart, it is not speaking of the organ that pumps blood through our body. It is speaking of the heart or the soul of an individual. The word heart or hearts is used 946 times in the entire Bible. Out of those 946 times, it is only referring to the organ three times. And so most of the time, almost every time that you read about the heart in the Scripture, it's talking about the real person. It's talking about who we are. It really is talking about the soul of an individual. Tonight we speak upon the heart. We're not talking about the organ that can be injured or damaged and finally stop beating. We're talking about the inner part of man, of who he really is. For the Scripture says here, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it," what's that? Out of the heart, "proceed the issues of life, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Out of the heart of man, or out of the soul of man, proceeds those issues." God is a Trinity, and therefore we are made in his image, and we are also Trinity in our bodies, our flesh. Man is a body, he's a soul, and he's a spirit. And so we are a Trinity ourselves. The body is world conscience. We have five senses that we use every day of our life. We have the hearing, the sight, the taste, the smell, and the touch. And those are things that God has given us whereby we can perceive the world around us. We can see the world. We can hear the world. We can touch the world. We can taste the world. We can smell the things around us. And so therefore, our bodies are conscious of this world, and we perceive that which is around us. The soul is self-conscious. Where the body is world-conscious, the soul is self-conscious. It is what we desire, and what we desire really is what we are. And it is the soul that we have thoughts, we have emotions, we have desires, likes and dislikes, our treasures, our love or lack of it, and our faith and our fears. Those are things that are part of our soul that makes us self-conscious. And then we are spirit, that is our God-conscious part of man. It is with the spirit that man seeks after God and worships in His presence. It is our soul that God saves, and then it is our spirit that seeks after the Lord. It is our spirit that we have a relationship and a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. And so we're going to be dealing primarily tonight with this thing called the heart, or the soul part of man, that self-consciousness, that being conscious of not just things around us, but having emotions. Every one of us tonight, we are emotional people. Some are more emotional than others. Sometimes even the lack of emotion is an emotion. Even a lack of expression of emotion is still an emotional part of an individual. It's why when we hear sad stories, sometimes we tear up. It's even if those sad stories are fictitious, and they play upon our emotions, and so the soul of man is emotional. It has likes and dislikes. It has love and hates, and has our faith and our fears. So I want to deal tonight with this thing called in the scripture called the heart, or the soul. Again, it's not the organ, but it's that part of man, the center of our affections. It's the center of our intellect, our imaginations, and our will. And so when we talk about the soul of man, or talk about the heart of man, we're talking about who he really is. It's not who we perceive, but who he really is. You see, the heart or the soul of man controls our body. That's why the writer of Proverbs says here that we're to keep our heart with all diligence. We're to be careful about our soul. We'd be careful about our life, because out of it are the issues of life. And so we find that the heart of man, or the soul of man, controls the actions, sometimes suppressing, sometimes encouraging the motions and its desires. Now, the first time that you'll read the word heart in the Bible is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5. We call it the law of first mentions. And usually those are things that are detailed and give you a little bit of insight to really about the heart. But in Genesis, chapter 6, and verse 5, the Bible says, God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the first time the heart is mentioned, it is mentioned with the thoughts of man, and his thoughts are only on evil things. And so that tells us by first mention that the heart or the soul has to have something done to it to change its attitude, has to have something expressed to it so that we can have the issues of life that proceed from us, from our soul or from our heart, that would be good and gracious. So as the heart controls the body, the heart also controls the spirit. It either turns to God or turns away from God. So the soul of man, the heart of man, I could, and I will give you a number of verses that have that word heart in there, but I think probably one of the most well-known is found in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So with the heart, or with this the soul. That's why we, when we talk about being saved, we say, God has saved my soul. When He saves our soul, He saves everything else about us, because from that proceeds the issues of life. And so everything is taken care of when the Lord saves us and makes us a new creature. But the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we find there's the action that we already have dealt with, that this heart or the soul controls the turning to God or turning away from God and expressing our thoughts about God. We have no problem telling people that we're Christian. We're Christian because one day God saved our soul. God made us a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the heart is very important spiritually to an individual. As the heart to the body, I believe so is the soul to the body and the spirit of man. In eternity, we find in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, for if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so the heart is used here. We believe in our heart, our soul, the innermost part of man. And with that same heart, we confess the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 24 says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad that she bare thee, shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart. And he goes on and said, let thine eyes observe my ways. And so, in light of maturity, God says, when a family gives birth to a child, they're going to rejoice as they come to know the Lord. And so the Lord tells us here, my son, give me thine heart. Just release those things that we hold and give them over to the Lord. And when we do that, we know what happens. The Lord takes over and He saves us and makes us a child of God. In light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read tonight there in Proverbs 4, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It keeps us. It guards us. The issues come from a root where the word issues comes from a word that means boundaries. God does have boundaries. God has certain rules. God has certain ways. I read somewhere the other day that heaven had boundaries, and the boundary was you must believe, you must accept, you must trust the Lord. That's the boundary. That's the rule. That's the law that God has given. Hell has no boundaries because everyone's going to hell by their own choice and their own free will. And so he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the boundaries or the issues of life. God puts boundaries upon. There's rules that God gives to His people that we are to live by. And we live in a society, nobody wants rules. Nobody wants to have anything that they must follow. If you have a rule, they want to break it. If for no other reason, just to say I can break it. They don't agree with it, so they don't want to have it. And sometimes they don't agree with it, just like Brother Brock, Brother Brock said, read tonight, had in part of his letter. I don't think I read that part, but he had two or three families come, but he had one family leave because they didn't agree with all the things that he taught and he preached. And so these things, the issues of life, the boundaries that God gives to us are there to help us and to guard us and to protect us. I believe this book is full of boundaries. It is full of rules. It is full of thou shalt and thou shalt not. There's not only 10 commandments, there's hundreds of commandments that are given to His children. And even in the so-called Christian world today, people say, let the restraints go. Let us live the way we want to live, do what we want to do, act the way we want to act, and you accept us the way we are, or we it just doesn't matter. And so God tells us the soul of man determines the boundaries that we have. If a man's not saved, he has no boundaries. If a man's not a child of God, he has no understanding of the boundaries of the Lord, the issues of life, have no understanding. All they're interested in is right now. They don't have any idea about tomorrow. Don't even think about next month or next year. Just make me happy right now. So they have no issues of life that are boundaries. And so the scripture says there in our verse, keep thine heart with all diligence. It means to be steady, to be constant, to be attentive to the things of God. And so have this heart or this soul, keep it with diligence. That means continual persuasion from the things of God that we live for the Lord. And no wonder the scripture says that we are to keep the heart, keep watch over it, to understand that what the heart wants or what the soul desires, good or evil, man usually comes up with it. Of course, it precedes the issues of life. Issues are important things. These are things that we have in our heart, our lives, and what's in our minds that we desire. And so these are issues for the reason of going forth in the work of God. Solomon said, be careful, watch over your heart. Watch over that part of man that has emotions. Watch over that part of man that expresses those emotions. And we tell people what we think and what we feel. And as I read just a moment ago, this soul is self-conscious. It's interested in me. It's interested in what I have and what I desire and what I want. And so Solomon said, be diligent to watch over it, to be diligent with your heart, because life is what really comes from your heart. How do we keep our heart in diligence? Well, I think we, first of all, by examination of God's Word. I'm going to read a number of verses tonight in these next few minutes about the heart. But we find that when we examine the heart, we're going to find something bad, bad wrong with it. It's a deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Have you ever said, have you ever heard someone say, and I'm sure we have, if I know my heart, that means if I know what I really, if I know me, then this is how I feel. I've heard people say that. I've even said that. If I know my heart, then I'm going to do this. And so here we find Jeremiah says that our heart is deceitful. Not only is it deceitful, but it's deceitful above all other things. And it's wicked. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to have someone tell us that we have a wicked heart. You ever thought about somebody and you listen to them and say, boy, they're a wicked person. Their heart is ungodly. Last Sunday morning, Sunday night, preaching on these last days, and I go home and I turn on the TV and I hear an individual talking about his lifestyle. If I was to call his name, every person in here would know it. And talking about his lifestyle, and I'm telling you what, he's a very, very wicked man. And then he talks about going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. And so we find that we examine the heart, we find out it's wicked. We find out it's desperate. We find out it's deceitful. Sometimes when we say, if I know my heart has deceived me. Somebody says, I'll do as my conscience tells me to do. Your conscience is deceived also. You better not follow your conscience. You better follow the Word of God. You better not follow what you feel. You better not follow what you think, unless you're keeping your heart in all diligence and your issues and your boundaries are set right. You better not follow your conscience. I'll let my conscience be my guide. Well, there's a lot of people in hell tonight because their conscience guided them right to hell. And so we find that the Scripture says that we're to keep our heart with all diligence. Do it by examination. There's a question after verse number 19 at the end of that verse. It says, who can know it? Who can know the heart? I don't know everything about my heart that I think I do. You don't know. And I've heard people say, you don't know my heart. No, I don't. Sad thing about it, you don't know your heart either sometimes. But I'll tell you one that does know your heart, and that's God. He knows our heart. And He knows the secrets of our heart. Psalm 44:21 says, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. God can search it out. God can put light upon it because He knows everything about our heart, and He knows about our soul. He knows how to control it. Psalm 26:2, David says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Try them. Examine them. Control them. You know what reins are? I doubt a lot of people today would recognize maybe that word, but I remember growing up, my dad had a team of mules, and they had reins on them. And those reins controlled those mules or those horses. And so David uses that term. He says, Lord, try my reins. Try my control. Try my heart. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. So this thing of the heart is very important. Almost 1,000 times in the words of the Word of God, God uses that word heart to express the inner man that we are, the soul of man. So we can examine our heart. We can keep our hearts in diligence and in safety and security by examining who we really are and coming to an understanding. I believe every person that ever gets saved, they are examining their soul. They're under conviction. What is that? God puts upon them the ability that they can examine themselves and they find out, hey, I need God. I need salvation. I need deliverance. I need salvation. And so we keep our hearts diligently by examination of ourself. We keep our hearts through meditation upon the Word of God. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let my meditation, what does he say? Let my meditation of my heart be acceptable. You ever just sat around and thought about things? Spiritual things. Things in your life. Things that are right, things that are wrong. You know what you're doing? You're meditating, and we're finding out where we lack, and we find out where we improve, we need improvement. We find out where God is blessing. And David says, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the meditation of my soul, my emotions, my expressions, my desires. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You ever talk to your heart? You ever talk to yourself? Ever think about things and express them to yourself? You may not be articulating words, but in your mind you're talking to your heart. you're looking at things and you may have to say, why did I do that? You might have to say, why did I act that way? You might have to say, I should not have responded the way I responded. That's those emotions. That's our soul. And David says here, commune with your own heart upon your bed. How many times we wake up in the middle of the night and we can't go back to sleep because we're communing with ourselves in our bed. We toss, we tumble, we roll, we get up. If I wake up, I get up. I don't care what time it is. No need of me laying there. I can go somewhere else, get in a different position, usually fall back to sleep. But if I'm laying on that bed, I do not go back to sleep. I got up this morning 3:30. And a lot of those times when you wake up in the middle of the night, you know what you do? You commune with your heart. You just talk to yourself. There's no TV to bother you. There's no telephone ringing. There's nobody around you. And you're just having a conversation with your heart. Sometimes it's pretty expressive. Sometimes it's sometimes we find out some pretty bad things. We find out our heart still has deceit in it that only the Lord can deal with. So we do diligence to our lives and to our heart by examination of our heart. And by meditation, we meditate upon the law of God. Psalm number chapter 1, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's a child of God. Meditating upon God's word. Meditate upon the Son of God. Psalm 63, 6. David must do a whole lot about these bedtime talks. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. David probably had a whole lot to meditate upon. David's life was racked by many problems. Had many blessings also. He's a man after God's own heart. He's a man after God's own soul, who he really is. But yet David said, when I remember thee on my bed, when I think about God while I'm in the bed, and I meditate during those night watches, during those times. David also tells us that we are to meditate on the work and talk of his doings. Psalm 77, 12. So keep our heart in diligence by examination, by meditation. And then thirdly, by saturation. Just saturate ourselves with his word. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, shall I observe it with my whole heart. Psalm 119, 34. Psalm 119, 69 says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. David says, my enemies lie on me, but I know God is true. I know the Lord will keep me. I'll keep thy word or thy precepts with my whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 80 says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. David said, let my heart be satisfied, to be stabilized, to be purified, to rejoice. Due diligence. Take care of your heart. Take care of those things. And the last thing is by our adoration. We look to him. We adore him for what he has done for us. David again says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praise unto thee. Psalm 111, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. What a wonderful verse. I trusted in him with my heart, and I am helped. Well, I'll tell you, one night I got help. One night the Lord saved me. I trusted him, my whole, everything in me, my soul. That's why we use the term, the Lord saved my soul. And in saving my soul, one day he's going to save my body. He's going to have a new body just like his. He saved my spirit when he saved my soul. Now I look to God. Now I'm conscious of God and conscious of all the good things he has for us. So when we read these words tonight, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, that refers back to the heart, are the issues or the boundaries of life. Men and women, society today is seemingly untamable, has no boundaries. Everything's okay. Everything's good. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me how to live my life. You know what they're saying? They don't have any boundaries. Don't tell me what I should do. Don't tell me how I ought to talk. Don't tell me how I ought to act. Don't tell me how I ought to dress. Don't tell me what I should say and where I should go and what I should. No boundaries. That's the issues of life. If we'll keep our heart with diligence, with careful attention to it, all of our issues will proceed with the boundaries that God gives to us. I'm sort of happy being a Christian. I'm not unhappy because there's boundaries. I'm not unhappy because there's rules. I'm not unhappy because of certain things that go on. These folks that don't want rules, they have a problem. Our basketball league, there's some problems there. And we've had 8 or 9 teams pull out of it because they don't like the rules. You know what the rules are? Boys need to look like boys and girls need to look like girls. That's basically what it is. Well, they don't want the boundaries. They don't want those put upon them. And I'm glad we're in a league that has some rules. There's some other leagues that have no rules, and I've played some of their teams. Not a whole lot of fun. But rules are taught in the Word of God. There's one real important rule. If thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. That's a rule. If you don't want to go by it, guess what? You die without God. Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. You know what? That's a rule. And if you don't want that rule, then you die without God. So God gives us a heart. God gives us a soul. And those souls, let me read it again. Make sure I get all of them. The soul of man is self-conscious. It is what we desire. And what we desire is what we are. It is with the soul that we have thoughts. It is with the soul that we have emotions, likes and dislikes, love or lack of it. It is with the soul we have our faith. We have our fears. Out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. Let's stand together tonight. Thank him.